2017 and the world of new music with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Triple J, that's a great track. No Halo is the name of the song from the American band Sorority Noise, and it's the opening track and latest single from their third album. The album is called You're Not As Blank As You Think, and I got the chance this week to speak to Cam Boucher, the singer and guitarist from this Philadelphia-based four-piece. He's going to talk more about how death has fueled the subject matter for this record. But I started the conversation by talking about No Halo, that song, because I read it was about Cam turning up to a friend's house one day, completely forgetting that that friend had passed away.
100%. It's totally, everything on the record is like, the record as a whole is really personal. Everything is actually about like specific moments in my life or things that have really happened to me in that moment. Yeah, that one, I was just driving, hanging out with a friend in the old neighborhood where Sean used to live, and I was driving home, and I remembered his house was nearby, and I was like, I'm going to stop by Sean's house, and I got there and pulled up in front of the house and realized that he had, not realized, I'd always known, but it hit me again, and I re-realized that he had been gone for about a year, and it was just a really heavy moment, and I thought that the only way I could kind of, it was even weird to write about, you know, it's such a difficult experience to try and talk about, but yeah, that's all 100% true.
What happened to Sean?
He took his life in July of 2015.
Was that something that you had any idea might happen?
No, actually. I mean, a lot of the song is referential. In high school, we were best friends. And, you know, as you graduate, I left high school and I went to college. And I moved, eventually moved to Philadelphia. And we would always keep up with each other, but we never got onto a plane again where we would, like, talk about what we were going through. I wish so badly that we could have had that conversation and maybe I could have done something to help, but it was, yeah, it was very out of the blue for me and really shocking and really hard to deal with.
Well, how do you feel like in that time, in the sort of like the 18 months that you've had to process it, how do you feel you have come to terms with it, or are you still trying to come to terms with it?
I think I've come to terms with it, but I'm still trying to figure out how. Because I believe that in his loss, it's my job to continue his life and live my life positively so that he may also live through that and other friends I've lost as well. And so I'm constantly trying to be a better person for the sake of my friends I've lost too young. And so that's constantly weighing on me and trying to be the best person I can be.
How much loss have you actually gone through, Cam, in the last year? Because it does reoccur in this record.
The record specifically is about three friends, my friend Zach Higgins, my friend Corey Bernard, and Sean Brown. And it's just people that were important to me that were gone too soon. And it's something I've liked to talk, not like to talk about, but have to talk about. There's nothing else that I could write about, if that makes any sense right now. It's the only thing really on my mind. And that's kind of where the record comes from as a whole, is this place of kind of both disparity, but also a push to move forward and keep them in my mind at the same time.
And having conversations with them that you wish you'd had when they were alive?
Totally, yeah. And I think that's kind of what I do through music. And I feel like they're, like, in a way with me while I'm playing live. And I try and channel a lot of that when we write and record and when I'm also on tour.
It's a lot of loss to go through. You know, that is it symptomatic of the area? Is suicide rates? I mean, did all of them take their lives?
Through different ways, yes. I don't think it was symptomatic by any means. I think that people are struggling all over the place and having a difficult time coming to terms with how they're feeling and grappling with the idea that it's not just them. A lot of depression and anxiety will force you into a place where you think you're the only one experiencing them. And in that way, and you think that it's all your fault. But if it's something, a chemical imbalance in your brain, it's hard to realize that what you're going through is not your fault and that you can. With the place I'm at now, where I've gone through very similar things, is I know that taking my life would be the worst thing I could do, just because I've experienced those that I care about taking theirs and know how much it impacts those around me. And it's just, I think it's important to always know that you're not the only one going through the things you're going through. And it's important you know that you can take care of yourself. And if you felt good once, it's a possibility to feel that way again. And I think that it's hard to see that sometimes when you're in a really dark place.
Yeah, so you've been there. You're talking from experience totally. Yourself as well.
Yes. I suffer from manic depression, which is it's a mental illness that I can't control the way I feel a lot of the time and can't control my emotions. And I've gotten better as the years have gone on and through touring and being exposed to constantly changing environments that I've had to maneuver my way through it. But it's my bandmates help me out a lot through it whenever I'm in a dark space, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity I have to write music about it and talk to other people about it too. So it's, I guess, it's different for everyone. There's no right answer as how to navigate it. You just kind of have to learn it yourself.
When were you first diagnosed?
Summer of my freshman year of college, so 2011.
Was it a relief to actually be able to pinpoint what was bothering you?
I'd always gone through it and never known that there was a specific thing that I had to, and in a way there's a solace in that, you know, like there's a, okay, well, this is actually something that's happening with me. How can I make the best of this scenario or this hand I've been dealt, versus being in the dark and, again, only thinking that you're the only one going through what you're going through and entirely pinning it on yourself. There is, for me personally, there was solace in finding out that what I was going through wasn't solely myself.
Well, speaking to Brendan last year from Modern Baseball, I mean, he's been in similar situations. He's hyper aware of what's going on with him, but it doesn't make it any easier for someone like Brendan, where when you're in a band and all the fluctuating circumstances of being in a band, it doesn't seem to be the best atmosphere sometimes for him.
It's different for him. For me personally, music is the therapy. As hard as I may be in a place on tour, if I get to play a show that night, I get to leave all my anxieties and my fears and my frustrations on the stage and kind of take it out. I was talking to my mom when I was home visiting, and I was like, when's the last time you yelled? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, just yelled. When's the last time you just screamed? She was like, I honestly have no idea. And I was like, I get to do that most days. And like the amount of like, it's a very cathartic feeling being able to just like scream. And like, I don't think enough people get to experience the amount of like release of tensions that provides. So in a way performing is the best thing for me in terms of being able, like, as my own coping mechanisms.
Have you thought, Cam, if you didn't have Sorority Noise, if you didn't have the outlet of making music and getting up on stage, have you thought about that scenario, if you had that sort of a life?
I think I would work 300 hours a week if it meant I could still play music. I think that I'm, again, very fortunate to be able to have people that support my music and have a band that I can tour with and be able to go on and have people bring me on tour and play music for people. But if it all stopped tomorrow, I would work and I would go to my job every day in order to just be able to still play music. Even if people didn't like what I was doing anymore and people didn't support it, I would still be playing. I can't see a world where I'm not playing music, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. It's basically the life that you have to have.
Yeah, and even if it's not on the stage, even if I'm just playing in my bedroom, I will continue to do that, and I think I just have to be playing music. It's just the only answer for me.
I've been feeling suicidal, and if I need remind you, it's not becoming of my heart and my brain. I was thinking about how great it would be if I could make the tightness in my chest go away. It's been a while since I've seen God, and I'm not trying to lead him on. But he's always trying to fuck me to the tune of my favorite song. And they're playing the 59 sound in heaven while the angels are drinking up whiskey and cokes. It's hard to freeze your anxieties when your best friend's torching your coat.
Listen, when you talk to God in some of these songs, because you kind of, you know, you do have conversations with all sorts of people, but including you direct some questions to God, is that because you've come from a religious background, or is that you just sort of seeking some sort of answers to this crazy life?
I was raised Catholic, and I fell out of the religion for a large portion because I didn't identify with a lot of the things that the religion adhered to. But I am a practicing Christian, and I do pray when I can. And I think it's helped me gestate loss easier in the way that I believe there's a heaven and an afterlife. And it makes me feel comfortable in thinking and knowing that my friends are there rather than like just having a, you know, being in the grave. And so I think I came more towards religion, especially with this record, in the way that it was a way to help me cope with loss and thinking and knowing and that they are in a better place rather than being in a worse place.
But you haven't questioned seeing all this loss yet? You haven't sort of had more doubts?
Oh, so much doubt. I think that's important about religion. I think that if you're not doubting your religion, then you aren't questioning it enough. I'm constantly doubting a God or why the things are happening the way they are to anyone in this world right now. And I don't even know if the God I believe in has a plan for that or if they're doing anything to help it. I have no answers for that. And I am constantly curious and I haven't received any answers or reasons to believe that things are getting better. But I got to hope that they are. And I'm going to do everything I can in my own power to try and make the world a better place for those in, around me and those that I can help kind of affect in any way I can.
Okay, that is Cam Boucher, who is the frontman, singer and guitarist for American band Sorority Noise, and he was talking to me about a lot of the subject matter of the third album, which the band has just released. It's called You're Not As Blank As You Think. If anything that we've talked about in the last 10 minutes or so has made you feel like opening up and sharing something yourself and you want to get something off your chest and talk, the number for Lifeline is 13114. He also talked to me about the making of the music. He says with his lyric writing that there's no censoring. He doesn't go back and edit. He feels like he's going to water down the emotion and the intent behind the songs. So what comes out the first time is usually what ends up in the lyrics for the final songs. If you listen to the record, it's funny, when I was listening to the whole album, because it's really quite diverse, I played a couple of tracks right there in the interview, but there's some really unusual moments, and I thought to myself, do these guys listen to jazz? And I asked him, and he said yes. He said, actually, he and Ryan, the bass player, their foundation is in jazz. They played a lot in their teen years in jazz bands. Also, he told me that because they're touring a lot, the only place he can find time to write is actually in his car, his parked car. So he goes to his car when they're on the road or whatever alone, and that's where he comes up with a lot of the material for the Sorority Noise songs. Anyway, that's an album definitely worth checking out, a great rock record. He reckons that the band's going to be here in the country for the first time early next year.
2017
and the world of new music
with Richard Kingsmill
on Triple J.